Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cameron Haley, driver number 13, Matei Tundra for Thor Sport Racing and the Camping World Truck Series. You're listening to the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Vega Nation. I'm Tim Despain, alongside my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing all right up here. It's a chilled down a little bit this week, so we're playing with the weather up here, hot 1 week, cold 1 week, and we should make up his mind because I'd like to actually have some warm temperature up here and not this cold temperature.
That's right, but and you know what? Some of the some of the old timers here in Alabama call it. We call it blackberry winter, Steven.
I've not heard that one before.
All right. Stephen, we're going to bring Reverend Joe in here. We're going to get the invocation going. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. Our guest at the bottom of the hour, we have driver number 13, cabinets by Haley, Toyota Tundra, NASCAR Tampa Royal Truck Series, Mr. Cameron Haley. He's going to come on and talk about his season thus far. But, Stephen, let's bring Reverend Joe into the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Where's my button? Here we go. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, bud? Everything doing okay up there in the Northwest?
Yeah, we're doing okay. Well, a little complicated this week, but we're doing all right. So how are you guys?
We're doing good, just like Stephen said. You know, he gets the cold and the hot, and we get the cold and hot here. But how's everything going with your situation, Reverend? Everything going okay?
Well, We're getting there. We're trying to sort out more tests and all kinds of junk. But, you know, insurance companies, doctors, it gets all kinds of flaky. And then Betty had her tonsils out yesterday, so she's been feeling under the weather. So it's a little bit of everything, you know. One of those wonderful things.
Yes, sir, I understand. Everybody down here in Talladega and the statement up there in Richmond, everybody's praying for you, bud.
We appreciate it. Shall we get this show started?
Yes, sir. You got the floor, bud.
All right. Lord, we come before you tonight. We ask your protection upon all of us. We ask your help and kindness and healing powers upon all those that are afflicted and all those that are suffering. We ask you to keep an eye over all our racers, all those involved with every type of motorsports all over this country. Keep them safe, keep them protected, and then help them to enjoy what they love to do. We thank you so much, Lord, for the fact that without you, we wouldn't be able to do any of these wonderful things. So be with us and cover us, watch over our soldiers who protect us, and like I said, be with us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff.
Hey, Mom.
Reverend Joe, as always, great invocation. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, folks.
Thank you. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org. Email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. Phone number is 951-232-7630. And please call us anytime you have a problem, a question. We post on the Pit Stop radio page. We post scripture every day. If you have questions, please drop us an email, give us a phone call. We're glad to help. We bless you all and thank you all for being there every week.
Reverend Joe, you're very welcome. Like I said, we're still praying for you. Tell Miss Betty we said hello and we'll talk with you next Tuesday night, but we appreciate you.
All righty. We love you guys too. Thank you.
All right. Love you. Love you too, Reverend. Take care, bud. Okay, so that was our Reverend out there. Reverend Joe moved from California up there to Seattle. He said he hated rain, but he's up there before it rains. Then we had a big race weekend at Kansas this weekend. The NASCAR Cape World Truck Series is there. Also, the Sprint Cup Series is there. And I want to remind everybody again, come up at the bottom of the hour. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. We have driver of the number 13, cabinet spot Haley Toyota Tundra, Mr. Cameron Haley, and that's our Cape World Truck Series. And I'm sure he'll be glad to take a few callers and answer any questions. Stephen, do you have any breaking news or out of NASCAR or anything that you need to throw out there right now, bud? You got the floor.
I think I'm going to start off with the statement that came out of Kansas Speedway earlier today. About the officer that was shot and killed yesterday outside of the Speedway near the Hollywood Casino yesterday afternoon. Detective Brad Lancaster was shot in line of duty. He had been an officer and detective around the area that had served and worked at the racetrack for many years. He was shot yesterday and a few hours later passed away. This afternoon, Patrick Warren, the president of Kansas Speedway, did issue a statement on behalf of the track. On behalf of the staff at Kansas Speedway, I want to express my condolences to the family and friends of Kansas Speedway, Kansas City Detective Brad Lancaster, and also the Kansas City Police Department. Detective Lancaster was a part of Kansas Speedway since 2008, working with us during race weekends. We were saddened to learn of his passing. He was protecting the community he served. We work closely with the police officers in our area, and we appreciate everything they do, keeping our community safe, along with the police officers around the country who serve and protect their respective communities. We will keep Detective Lancaster's family, friends, and fellow officers in our thoughts and prayers, along with his brothers and sisters in blue across the country. And a short time later, yesterday night, the assailant who did shoot Officer Detective Lancaster was apprehended and has been booked in this assault. So they will remain nameless because I refuse to give credence or any kind of special announcement to the animals that decide to commit these kinds of acts. But again, condolences to the family of Detective Lancaster that had served his community and everybody there at Kansas Speedway since 2008.
Very sad to hear, Stephen. Yes, I read that press release going off of your site, speedwaydigest.com. And, just like I said, our thoughts and prayers from everybody here at Pit Stop Radio on speedwaydigest.com go out to the family and friends of the detective that lost his life. Just sad to hear, Stephen. And I hate to go from a sad thing, but I'm going to go with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Stephen, thank you for that breaking news, but I appreciate it. NASCAR Camping World Truck Series was at Kansas Speedway this weekend where William Byron, and I'm telling you, Stephen, you and I both, we've been talking about this William Byron kid. We've been watching him come up through the NASCAR T&M Pro Series ranks, and Kyle Busch gave him a chance. William Byron was your winner. To round out your top 10, second P2 was Matt Crafton. P3 was my good friend Daniel Hammer. P4 was Christopher Bell. P5, Clint Boyer, out of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series from where he got into some racing, some good at track, on track. I'm trying. Good on track experience. Ryan Truex, P6. Cole Custer from Junior Motorsports, P7. My good friend Timothy Peters from Red Horse Racing, P8. Ben Kennedy, which left Red Horse Racing and went over to GMS Racing, P9. And your top, round out your top 10 was Spencer Gallagher. And Stephen, if I can, let's see what William Byron and Kyle Busch and crew chief Randy Fugle had to say in the media center at Kansas Speedway after winning his first NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series race.
All right, we are now joined by the winning team of today's Toyota Tundra 250. The number 9 team, Liberty University Toyota. We're first joined by our driver, William Byron. William, it's quite an accomplishment for you. Just your 5th NASCAR Camping World Series truck start. You get your first win. This qualifies you for the chase, and you are also the 9th NASCAR Next alum to win a National Series race. Can you talk a little bit about that experience for us?
It's awesome. I mean, from all the way from like the first race in Phoenix, I knew there was a lot to this. There's so many different ebbs and flows of the race. And it's just really important to keep your head in the game, and that was really evident tonight with the way the last 30 laps went, getting the lead, and then on that last restart, you know, falling back to third. You know, you just can't give up. So, just really proud of this whole Liberty University team. We had a really fast Toyota Tundra, and KBM is just really giving me a great platform.
Awesome. We are also joined by our winning truck owner, Kyle Busch. Kyle, you've obviously had a lot of success in finding young talent for your trucks. Can you talk a little bit about what it means to have William win so early on in his career?
Yeah, I think this night is precedented for William for sure, and just the limited experience that he does have in the truck series, the limited experience that he has in racing in general. I'm well impressed with the way that he's been able to drive in the different vehicles that he's driven in over the years, and the success that he's had in those races as well too, and being able to move up the ladder as quick as he has. And to be with KBM, you know, we saw William early last year and was talking with him and his dad about putting this deal together. And fortunately, it all came together, and we were able to be here tonight and be in this moment. So it's pretty special to have William being able to win this soon in his career in the Truck Series, and hopefully there's many more to come.
And we are also joined by the winning crew chief, Rudy Fugle. Rudy, can you talk a little bit about what it was like sitting on the box watching William drive to victory?
It was different. The last couple of years, I've had some different drivers and more experience in pressure, different situations, expecting to win more and out of the box. And so with a young driver again and learning how to coach him and how to do the right things. And but it was fun to watch, too, because he's just got the raw talent and the speed just out of the box that you don't have to teach, and made it all happen. You know, the last caution wasn't very fun for us sitting on the box, and probably not him in the seat either, but we pulled it out, and I think we showed we had a top 2 truck, if not, and at the end I think we had the best truck. It just, the way the restart shook out, and then it all worked out.
All right, we'll now open it up for questions. Please state your name and affiliation when you get the microphone.
Hey, William. Todd Palmer, Kansas City Star. First of all, what high school do you go to, and like, when's your prom, graduation, anything like that?
My graduation's May 27th, and actually an off weekend, so I'm pretty fortunate with that. Get to enjoy that. And my prom was, I was racing that weekend, so I was racing in Nashville. I think it was like April 8th or something. So, you know, it's a good balance between going to school and being a completely normal kid, and, you know, people have really no idea like what's going on when we get to the racetrack. And that's the cool part, is I just like to kind of do my business at school and keep my grades up, and then get to the racetrack and enjoy myself.
We'll stay here in the front.
Country Day in Charlotte.
Sean Roney, Dos Mundos newspaper here in Kansas City. Matt Crafton had said that this asphalt can be difficult for a lot of rookie drivers. In fact, he said he told Rico Abreu that you kind of have to tiptoe around it a little bit. Why do you think a young fellow like yourself did not have too much trouble with it?
I mean, honestly, I think it's just anticipating and not putting yourself in that position to rely on whether it be the tire or the aero. I think you're always going to have a position where you don't feel comfortable, but you know, I still have a lot to learn there. But I think just learning from Kyle, learning from the tapes that I get at KBM, learning not to put myself in those positions.
Any additional questions for winning team? We go back there to Chris, and we'll come back up front to Toss.
Chris Knight, KidTrends.com. Congratulations, you guys, on the win tonight. I believe you were in the truck that Eric Jones dominated and almost won with last year here at Kansas Speedway. How do you feel about being in the chase, and how do you feel about overall the 1.5-mile performances for the team looking forward, knowing that you guys run so strong here tonight?
Yeah, I mean, to have the team that I do with, you know, Rudy Fugel and all the guys from last year that had such good success is really a good confidence builder for me. And honestly, when I'm out there on these mile and a half, I've only, you know, I only did a quarter of a race at Atlanta, and now I have a full race under my belt. But it's a lot of fun. And, you know, there's times when you can't really do anything, but there's also times when I've just learned to make the most of every little bit. So that's what Kyle preaches to me, and that's what Rudy tells me about, is just maximizing everything.
Stephen, that was William Byer. You and I have been watching that young gentleman come up out of the super late models, Kingsport, wherever, coming up through the KNN Pro Series Championship. So your thoughts on the William winning the Toyota Tundra 250 there at Kansas Speedway this past week?
Yeah, he, you know, that was a question asked in the media center about, you know, how slick that track can be, especially on somebody that had never been there for a mile and a half racetrack. That racetrack really is very, very slick. It's wide, it's slick, and just because of the pavement onto it, there's not a whole lot of grip out there just because of the newness of it. And it's not like when you go to another racetrack such as Atlanta where you get a lot of grip out there. So you have a tendency to slide all around and get yourself into trouble really quickly, especially out there in the turns. And for a young guy, 18 years old, to be able to go out there and just run out there and dominate like he did, that shows the discipline that he has, not only with that truck, but everybody out there, between Kyle Busch, KBM, Rudy Fugel, and everybody on that team that's just continuously feeding him the information that he needs to be very, very successful, and that he's taking this all in, he's learning, and he's continuously just going out there and taking it to heart. You know, so, you know, we can continue to expect very good things about him in the future. And he's, you know, obviously in the rookie season, this quickly in a rookie season already, he's NASCAR Canyon East champion in 2015, and this already, you know, four races in to the Camping World Truck Series season. He's a Camping World Truck Series rookie winner, and he's already locked himself into chase for the Camping World Truck Series later on this season. So I think he's got a lot of things good coming towards him in the future. He doesn't necessarily have much to worry about for the rest of the year because he's already locked himself in. I would think he'd want to go out and continue competing for wins just to make sure that he solidifies that and gets himself a good position once he gets later into the season. But, you know, I think he's done a fairly decent job, and he's going to continue to learn, especially with a lot of the resources that he has around him. And, you know, the drivers, the capabilities over there at KBM, most definitely.
And, Stephen, before we move on to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race there, the GoBowling.com 400 that you're going to let us know everything that went on out there. I want to give kudos to Brett and Brett and Katie, which are writers for you at StubwayDigest.com. I want to throw that out there. Brett and Katie done an awesome job at Kansas Speedway, covering the whole race this week. Let's give them a big round of applause.
Yeah, huh? Hey. Yeah, Brett and Katie, they were out there at Kansas this weekend taking care of all the action out there, and Dustin will be in Dover this weekend, so two back-to-back weekends with somebody out there at the racetrack to take care of everything.
Sounds good, but yeah, they did awesome. I fought them all weekend. You You got yourself two good riders there. Steven Phillips in on the everything from the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series from the GoBowling.com 400 there at Kansas. You got spoiled, bud.
Well, no surprise here. You know, same old name, back in Winter Circle again, and yet again. 37th victory, 401 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races. Kyle Busch wins the 6th annual Go Bowling 400 out there for his impressive, and get this, 162 NASCAR National Series wins. Yeah, this is his 162nd win in the top three series. 37 victories here in the Sprint Cup Series, 80 victories in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. So, yeah, he's got a lot of wins racked up. This is also his third victory in 2016. Third victory, yes, already. 11 races into this year, he already has three of the victories to himself. This is his first victory there at Kansas Speedway. Never won there before in his fifth top 10 finish. Kevin Harvick finishing second for his 10th top 10 finish in 21 races there. And for his 9th top 10 finish in 2016, Kurt Busch finished third. Ryan Blaney was your highest finishing rookie. And Kevin Harvick leads the points, not by much, but only by a little, by 4 points over Kyle Busch at this point.
Steven, let's listen to a little bit about what Kyle Busch, owner Joe Gibbs, and crew chief Adam Stevens had to say in the media center there at Kansas Speedway after their victory in the GoBowling.com 400.
All right, we're going to get started here as our winning team begins to make their way into the media center. We are joined by the winning crew chief of the number 18 M&M's Red Nose Toyota, Adam Stevens. Adam, this is the third win of the season for this team. Why don't you talk about that win today?
Yeah, you know, it's always cool to get to victory lane, but to knock off another place that KB hasn't won at is just really special. You know, he's got a very storied career and done a lot of great things, and to help him accomplish the few things that he hasn't done is really cool. But it's a tough race, a lot of adjusting with the track conditions changing, and really groove really widened out, which was good to see. Lots of pit strategy and just an overall solid night for the 18 team.
Great. We will now start with questions for Adam. We'll start up here in the front with Todd, and then we'll go to Bob.
I think I may not have the numbers right here, but did you guys go the last 56 laps without pitting? Is that right?
Yes, we pitted under green the last time.
Yeah, I mean, what was the thought process there? And you know, and I mean, because obviously a lot of other guys came in, but why were you so confident that your car would hold up those last 56 laps?
Well, it hadn't really seen much speed in tires all night. Not much tire fall off. So, and we'd only gone about 25. It was about the perfect time to make that call. A little bit longer would have been harder to make the call, and you'd have had less laps to pass the cars. But it's just so hard to pass, and the cars are so even. As soon as you get the track position, you need to do all you can to maintain it.
We are also now joined by the winning driver of the number 18 M&M's Red Nose Toyota, Kyle Busch. Kyle, you have now won at 21 of 23 active Sprint Cup Series tracks. Why don't you talk a little bit about hitting that milestone today?
Yeah, it was a really great day. I didn't know that we'd have that much speed in our race car. I guess I should have known. But Adam and these guys, you know, they continue to impress me each and every week. We had a top five car going there in the beginning part, in the middle part of the race, and we just kept making improvements to it, kept making it better. And there with about two runs to go, we got it on the tight side, and I felt like we had decent speed. I really didn't know what to do to make it any better. And then after that final pit stop, we kind of got on the free side, and we were a little bit loose, and Matt was catching us there. And then those last couple cautions just gave us opportunity to kind of cool the tires down and go back at it again with some of those other guys, and they had tires, but you know, when you're out front and you focus on hitting your marks and hitting the restart and doing what you can do, then you get an opportunity to try to drive away. But Harvick was making it tough. He was right on my bumper there for a few laps, and I kind of pulled a slide job off turn four, cut it a little bit close. We touched a little bit, but after that I kind of refocused on being able to hit my marks and hit the line that I was running before the caution came out, where I was really fast, and from there I was just kind of been able to pull back away and do what I needed to do in order to try to win.
And now we have the remainder of our winning team up here on stage. We're joined by the owner, Coach Joe Gibbs. Coach, it's another great victory for Joe Gibbs Racing. I believe it's the fourth different driver you've won with here at Kansas. Can you talk a little about what that means for you and the team?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, these two guys here just done a terrific job. I mean, all year long, I don't know if any of our teams have ever been this hot and been up front every single week. And it's just it's great to watch it. It's great for M&M's, Toyota. Everybody back home, I called JD and everybody. We appreciate everybody working so hard back at the shop. It's a total team effort. I say that all the time, but we got everybody back at the shop working on the cars. We got Mars, just one of the most powerful companies in America. And it takes all of us to do this, to be a part of this. And then to have Kyle as hot as he is right now. It's very hard in pro sports. The hardest thing in pro sports is to stay up there every week. And right now, it's been a thrill. We love coming to Kansas, this part of the country. Our sponsors and everybody here really appreciate it, and it's been a thrill for us.
Thanks, Coach. We're going to resume the questions. We'll start here with Bob and work our way across the front row.
Bob Packer, ESPN. I have two for Kyle. When you haven't won a cup race at a place, do you lack any confidence, or do you have any question of, like, am I doing the right thing when you have a lead with a guy on your tail like that?
Yes, to answer your question. But it was more so when we came off pit road. For some reason, I was a little bit loose, and I was trying to take care of my tires and make sure I wasn't slipping them and overheating them, but Kenseth was catching me, and then I was like, okay, well, I got to go. I got to find some speed, and I wasn't able to find any. So at that moment, I was wondering, okay, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing different from the previous run, and why am I in this position? But fortunately, like I said, those couple restarts that we got, I just had a chance to regroup, resettle in, and get my car back underneath me, and that was a key for us.
And Steven, not to take anything away from Kyle Busch. I mean, you know, I think that's his third win this year, but Kyle Busch was not the dominant car there at Kansas this past weekend. The 78 car of Martin Truex Jr., he was on a rail, but he was getting some yonder, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, Kyle Busch really was not the dominant car at all by any means. You know, Kyle Busch only led two times for 69 laps throughout the night. You know, Martin Truex was clearly the dominant car throughout the night, leading five times for 172 laps, leading more than half the race out there. He led the most times. During the last couple pit stops before the end of the race out there, had a problem with the tire jammed. He had to come back to pit road, putting the lap down, and, you know, he had to battle this thing back. You know, he did end up finishing 14th out there, but, you know, for being the dominant car out there, unfortunately, he was way, way behind everybody else. But, yeah, for being the non-dominant car of the night, you know, it worked out in his favor. That, you know, even Kevin Harvick was at several points there towards the closing laps, was able to close in within the bumper of Kyle Busch. And you just thought that, you know, Kevin would be able to run him down. But in the closing laps, the laps just ran out, and Harvick wasn't able to get past him or close him down fast enough. But, Kyle Busch yet again pulling it out for his 162nd National Series win out there and his third Sprint Cup Series win of the year. So, you know, he's got a lot of wins out there, most definitely. And, you know, he'll continue with that dominance. And we've seen that with Joe Gibbs Racing, not only last year, but this year too. But, you know, the one thing we really do have to take a look at is at one point last year, Joe Gibbs Racing was very, very good. And they slacked off at some point, and they became very, very bad for quite some time. And when they got into the chase, it didn't look very good for them for quite some time until Kyle Busch was able to pull it out at the end. So we'll have to see if Joe Gibbs Racing is able to carry this thing all year long, or if it bites them like it bit them in 2015, and do they go through a period like they did last year.
Yeah. Most definitely. And Steven, real quick, I think Suzanne has our as our bottom of the hour guest in the sprinting room. And I know it's still early to talk about, but the past couple of years, you and I have always talked about, are we going to have 16 different winners for the chase? And this year, it does not look like we're going to have 16 different winners to make it into the chase for the Sprint Cup. But what's your thoughts on, do you think we're going to have a lot of drivers pouring in, you know, as far as I say pouring in to our listeners, make it in on points to into the chase for the Sprint Cup?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to tell. We're almost halfway there coming back to Richmond to cut this chase off. We're 11 races in. Dover will be number 12, the Coca-Cola 600. We'll skip the All-Star race because it's an on-points race, and the Coca-Cola 600 will be the halfway point, you know, to 26. Kyle Busch already has three wins out there. He's got a possibility he's going to win some more races throughout the rest of the year. He's got Jimmy Johnson already with win. Brad Keselowski with two wins already, one at Vegas, one at Talladega, where you were at just a couple weeks ago. So it's hard to tell what some of these guys are going to do. I think that we're probably going to see a bottom three or four with points only, just the way that this is going to work out this year. And, you know, I could be surprised. I could see, you know, through the summer stretch, especially if we go through last year and Joe Gibbs Racing, goes through that little bit of a dip like they did in 2015, and some of these other teams are able to catch back up and really capitalize on that. And then I think that'll make those deficit up, and we may only see one or two in that bottom factor on points only. So we'll just have to wait and see how this all shakes out, but we're really coming to the halfway point, with Dover number 12 and the halfway point being the Coke 600 here in about 3 weeks, with race number 13 coming to the number 26 race at Richmond to cut this off in September.
Sounds good, bud. And we've got our bottom of the hour guest. We've got driver of the number 13, Cabinets by Haley Toyota Tundra. In the NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series, Mr. Cameron Haley. Let's bring Cameron in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Cameron, how are you doing tonight, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hadn't talked to you since, I think it was Talladega last year when you and John Hunter done that little deal there at the elementary school.
Yeah, for sure. You bet.
Yeah, that was good. And, Cameron, before we get talking about racing, some of our listeners might not know that you're from Canada, but from everybody here at the Pit Stop Radio and SpeedwayDigest.com, we want to send our thoughts and prayers to all the families in Fort McMurray.
Yes, thank you very much. It is actually my home province. I'm from Calgary, Alberta. Murray is about 8 hours north of where I'm at right now. So luckily, my family and nobody but part of my family has been affected, but I know Alberta is hurting right now, and I appreciate that, and definitely keeping those people in our hearts going into Dover here.
Yes, sir. You're welcome, Cameron. Cameron, coming off of Kansas, you know, y'all had a break. I think your last race was Atlanta. You didn't fare too well. I don't want to throw it out there bad, but you finished 19th there. You actually led a lap. But talk a little bit about how your truck run there at Kansas Speedway in the Toyota Tundra 250, and also a little bit about how the track took rubber. We heard a lot of drivers talking about they could run the whole track, the bottom and top and up. And just give us a little bit about how your night went there at Kansas Speedway in the Toyota Tundra 250.
Well, believe it or not, our finish really didn't show it, but our Tundra was actually really strong. It was really good in practice. Struggled a little bit in first or second practice. Third practice, we hit on something. Qualifying was great for us. I just made a bit of a mistake, got too loose in 3 and 4 and ended up qualifying 15th. But we look back on the lap tracker, and, I mean, we were tracking pole the entire way. So a little bit disappointing qualifying, and then the race just pretty much followed that up. We had about everything go wrong that could have gone wrong. We had a right rear tire going down. that first 40-lap run, so I got super loose, fell back to 23rd or something. Got the tire changed out, finally got moved in the right direction, headed in the top five, and we ran out of gas. So that was another damper on our night. Ran out of gas, lost a lap, and was never able to get the lucky dog. We had all the short cautions when I didn't need them and all the long cautions when I did need them. So didn't quite go our way, but, I mean, our tundra was great. We could run the bottom. We can run the top. The track, I mean, like you wanted me to describe, I mean, the track really this year was a lot different than last year. The Goodyear rubber Goodyear brought this year laid down rubber a lot more, and it made it a lot more different to drive out there. It kind of took the emphasis off the bottom line and running wide open, and you really had to move around to the second and third line to try and find grip out there.
Yeah. And Cameron, can you talk a little bit about where am I going with this? My thoughts have done gone. I want to ask a couple more questions before I hand you over to Stephen Wilson, stevewithdaddies.com. The chase for the Sprint Cups this year, I mean, not Sprint Cups, the chase for the Camp World Truck Series Cup, they're going to take 8 drivers, and you're 11th in points going into Dover this weekend. Do you think it's going to take a win to get into the chase, Cameron, or do you think you can point your way in?
You know, I'd love to say we could get in by points, but the way it's going right now, I think you're going to have to win. I think we have enough races left. I think for the most part, Cup drivers aren't really going to be driving too much in the Truck Series, so that's going to put a lot of emphasis on us drivers to go and win. And a lot of people have been saying, myself included, this is probably the strongest Truck Series class that's really been in the series for many years now. So this is going to be one of the toughest years, and I think it's definitely going to come down to a win that's going to get you in that chase.
Cameron, and just to sort of come in behind what you quoted there, the points, I mean, you know, since y'all had that big long break since Atlanta, I didn't get to talk to you over in Atlanta. I'm sorry about that. But since y'all have come back, I mean, the points are really, really tight, Cameron. I mean, and you can if you have a bad race, I mean, you could really knock yourself way back in the standings.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, just take last weekend at Kansas, for example. I mean, I came into the weekend 5th in points, feeling good. Kansas is going to be a good weekend for us, and we have a flat tire, run out of gas, and now we're sitting 11th in points. So your luck can go from good to bad, bad to worse in the snap of your fingers. So it's so important to have consistently good finishes, put yourself in winning position. And I don't think it's anything me or my team has done this year that's put us into 11th right now. I mean, we should be leading the points with a win right now, but we haven't gotten the luck we needed yet, whether it be tires, whether it be track position, anything to go out and get that win. And hopefully coming up here at Dover, we can pull that off.
Cameron, my final question. This will be the first race that y'all race on concrete at the Monster Mile there at Dover. Can you let our listeners know a little bit about what the difference is in asphalt and concrete, and which I know you hadn't been to Dover to say what your truck's going to be, but what are you expecting your truck to act like at Monster Mile this weekend?
Well, I mean, concrete versus asphalt, it is quite a bit different. A big thing at Dover that a lot of people don't realize is a lot of people talk about concrete taking rubber more, and it does. It takes rubber a lot better. It gets a lot slicker, but it's also a lot more grip. But one thing people don't realize, concrete versus asphalt, is asphalt, you pave down in strips. You go around the bottom, then you go around the middle, then the top. So your seams are running with the truck. Well, in concrete, obviously concrete, they can't pave, they have to pour. So you get the seams running across the racetrack instead of with the racetrack. Dover, where you got such high banking, high loads, you go in that corner and you can feel every single seam that goes over, that your truck goes over. So if you guys, if any of your listeners or you have ever gone over a rumble strip on the side of the highway, that's what it feels like going through these turns at Dover. It's pretty rough with all these beams on the concrete.
I bet it is. And Cameron, I want to thank you very much for taking time out to come on the show. And Suzanne and I will see you in Dega. That's probably going to be our next truck race in October. But thank you again, bud. I'm going to hang you over to my good friend, Stephen Wilson. And Stephen, I'm going to go make a pit stop. I'll be right back. Good luck.
You bet. Thank you.
Cameron, I just want to talk to us a little bit and build off what Tim was talking about, especially with the chase in 2016 that NASCAR had announced earlier this year. Obviously, William Byron winning this week and locking himself in, and you know we've got a lot of racing left for this year. The Truck Series have such a short season as it is already. Last year, you finished sixth in the points standings out there. You had five top fives and 13 top tens out there. But, you know, that almost you would think would get you in, especially with eight going to be guaranteed later on this season. Do you think that a performance like that, especially if you can take your season with what's left coming up here through the summer stretch, through the rest of the year, and leading into the fall, do you think that would be able – with those what you were able to do in your rookie year and bringing that over into your sophomore year here, do you think that would be enough to then be able to get yourself into the chase later on this year?
Well, what I did last year, I don't think would be good enough to get me into this year. I think I can obviously take that knowledge I learned from last year about these tundras, about the racetracks, about the racing in general, and I think I can take that knowledge and apply it to this year, but I'm definitely going to have to run better. Like I said earlier, I think it's going to come down to a win. I think you're going to have to win to get in the chase, and I think that's basically what it comes down to. I mean, there's so many good drivers, like I said, that you're just not going to be able to points race to get in the chase.
You know, and Camping World Truck Series, just like every other series these days, you know, get to go to a variety of tracks this weekend. You're going to a mile concrete track. But, you know, in the last couple of years, the Camping World Truck Series has expanded their horizons, and now they go out to, you know, they go to Canada and they race up there at a road course. They go to Eldora and race on the dirt. When you look at the variety of the schedule that the Camping World Truck Series has put together and what you were able to race in last year, you know, you did get to see some of this not racing in the K&N East Series, because they do kind of race a little bit of a variety. They don't get to go to dirt, obviously, but they did race at BIR in certain tracks like that. But when you look at the variety of tracks that you do go to in the Camping World Truck Series, where do you feel are the tracks that you are most strongest at, and where do you feel that in the 2016 season that you need to take what you learned in 2015 and just reach out and maybe learn a little bit more and improve upon?
Well, coming from the NASCAR K&N Pro Series, both West and East, obviously they emphasize more on the short track side of racing, and that's what I grew up doing. That's what I feel comfortable with, and I think that's my strong suit. I think these mile and under tracks, including Dover, are some of my stronger points. Some of the places where you have to brake, let off the gas, that's where I excel. I think going into 2016 here, my biggest emphasis on races this year had to be on mile and a half. I struggled on mile and a half last year. Got better at them throughout the year, but still a whole different ball game from short track racing when you're holding these trucks at 180 miles an hour wide open. So definitely take that knowledge from last year and go on to this year and hopefully get better at it.
And my final question for you is, you know, there's always a lot of talk, especially when, you know, you as a driver and you last year as a rookie and even this year as a sophomore in your second full-time season. And you know, everybody likes to talk about it, but, and everybody has a different opinion on this sometimes. NASCAR has already said that they banned any driver in the final race of the season competing for the Sprint Cup Championship. You as a driver, what are your thoughts and what are your opinions on racing against more veteran drivers, some of these drivers that cross over and come back to the Camping World Truck Series and race against you? And how much do you learn when you do race against them? And how much do you reach out to them prior to the race or even after the race and just kind of lean on them sometimes to learn a little bit more about what you're doing as a driver and, you know, as you go on about your career on when you continue to move forward?
Well, that's obviously been a fairly controversial subject as of late, especially with Kyle winning all those Xfinity races earlier in the year. But, I mean, for me personally, like you said, you can learn a lot from these veteran drivers coming down and racing with us. The way they restart, the way they hold you down, the way they race you. I mean, they're not going to race you any different than they race any other Cup driver out there. So, when you race against Kyle, when you race like last week and Clint Boer, you know that's the caliber of driver you eventually need to be in order to make it to the Sprint Cup. So that part of it I really like. On the flip side of that, when they go out and win, and especially with the Chase now, when they're going out and winning and taking that win away from potentially you at the end of the day, that hurts for sure. Especially, like I said, the emphasis that's being put on winning. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't think any driver in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series can get on this radio and tell you that they're better than Kyle Busch or better than Clint Boer. So naturally, they're going to have a better shot than we are. That's obviously something we need to strive to get to, but it's still disappointing when a win gets taken away.
Well, Cameron, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. Good luck throughout the rest of your 2016 season. And before we let you go out of here, as we always do, we'll give you the time to thank your sponsors and thank everybody, anybody else you'd like to, and let us know how they can follow you on social media. And like I said, appreciate it and good luck throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, first and foremost, got to thank my primary sponsor, Cabinets by Haley. They've been behind me from the start, and I couldn't do it without them. Duke and Rhonda Thorson at Thor Sport Racing giving me this opportunity to come back and drive for them again this year. The Carolina Nut Company and, of course, Toyota being part of the Toyota Racing family again this year is amazing. And, I mean, to get a hold of me and to get a hold of all my awesome sponsors, go to CameronHaley.com. And you'll find everything you need to on there, my Twitter, my Facebook, all my sponsor links, everything.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Have a great
awesome.
Night.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
All right, Stephen, that was Cameron Haley there. I mean, had a lot of good insight, a lot of good questions you and I asked. And he seems to think like it's going to take a win to get into the chase of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Stephen, which they're going to take, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to take the top eight with wins or points. And I sort of think you might can point your way in, Stephen. What do you think?
I think it's going to be kind of hard. It really is going to be. Because you take a look at the fact that the Camping World Truck Series does run at Iowa. That's a standalone event. Well, they also run at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. That, again, is a standalone event. These are events that traditionally do not have crossover drivers coming in. There are other events that we could potentially see winners at, just like we saw this past weekend with William Byron. So, you know, these eight slots that are there, there's not a whole lot of them out there. And I think he's right. I think these slots will fill up very, very quickly, especially with some of these standalone events or even these events that are – oh, and also Gateway. Gateway is another one. That's three events right there that do not traditionally have crossover drivers. So that right there has four potential spots already taken, gone, just right there with just drivers that – just between standalone events and what William Byron did this weekend. So you've got four spots left. And there's a lot of racing between here and the fall, between when they cut this thing off. So it's hard to tell. I think he might be right.
And, Stephen, I'm not going to argue with you because my fantasy racing league is, excuse my language, listeners, sucks. I'm last in my fantasy racing. I'm not going to argue with you because some of my picks, I'm just I don't know. But anyway, speaking of fantasy races, Stephen, before we get off there tonight, who's your power pick this weekend at Dover?
Ha-ha. Who's going to take it at Dover this weekend? Oh, Lord. I think Jimmy Johnson is going to take it this weekend. He's been incredibly strong in the past couple of years. I thought that he was going to get by this past weekend at Kansas, and he finished 17th. But I'm going to give him a redemption this weekend at Dover, and hopefully he'll pull it out.
Okay. And who is your lower tier driver as far as the B class? You know, which the letter by note we all do Yahoo. Let's start with the medium. Your medium tier, which is B class, and your lower tier C class. What do you got there, Blake?
B class B. I'm going to take Newman, and I'm going to take I think who the hell did I put in it? I don't even remember who else I put in there. I know I've got Newman in there, but I don't remember who else. And for the C, I put Blaney in there.
Okay. Yeah, that's our top two picks in the C every week, so Chase Elliott or a bunch. Stephen, do you have the times and stuff for this weekend or radio and TV? I do not have it up. Do you have it? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I don't have it, but I can get it for you here real quickly. If you give me 1 second, I'll have to pull it up.
All right, go ahead, because I got two laptops and a monitor wide open, and I hadn't got nothing up on it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, not a problem. Everything this weekend radio is going to be on MRN. The racing, we got three races this weekend: Camping World Truck Series, NASCAR Xfinity Series, and the Sprint Cup Series. NASCAR Camping World Truck Series out there. They're going to NASCAR. Going to start with NASCAR. Camping World Truck Series qualifying, that's going to be at 2:15 on Friday, followed by NASCAR Sprint Cup Series qualifying at 3:45. 5:30 p.m., 200 laps, 200 miles for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series out at Dover, the Monster Mile. Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning at 10:45, NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying, followed by, and here we go again, we're going to have some heat racing once again for the Dash for Cash out there at the Monster Mile. 2 p.m., 40 laps, 40 miles, heat number one, followed by a second 40-lap feature, and after that, 120 laps, 120 miles for the main feature out there for the Dash for Cash, $100,000 on the line for the top finishing Xfinity Series regular. Then, Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., 400 laps, 400 miles, NASCAR Sprint Cup Series out there at the Monster Mile, and that's your weekend out there for NASCAR Series. So I think that takes care of it all. I don't remember which channel everything is on, but I can tell you MRN has coverage for everything, and Fox should have the coverage for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race.
Thank you very much, David. And before we get off here, I want to thank Jessica, Public Relations Director for Thor Sports Motorsports for getting Cameron Haley on. We'll thank Cameron for coming on and taking his time out. And next week we will be live again from We'll be live again from Talladega. And I'm your host, Tim Spain, my good friend Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Check him out. All kind of great motorsports coverage. Stephen, let everybody know where they can follow you there on social media and your website, which I just told you website after, but if you got the full time.
You can follow us at Speedway Digest, Facebook.com/Speedway Digest, SpeedwayDigest.com. Dustin Albino will be out at Dover this weekend covering everything from the Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity, and Sprint Cup Series from Friday to Sunday. So he'll have all kinds of good stuff out there for all the coverage this weekend.
Sounds good. Everybody follow Dustin Albino, if I got that right, Stephen, from SpeedwayDigest.com for all the coverage. Stephen, thanks again for coming on tonight, and we'll be back live again next Tuesday night from Dega Nation. Stephen, till AM and boys, we say hello, and I'll talk to you this weekend during the race. I'll be following you, bud. We'll see you now. That was Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. We'll talk to you next weekend from Mega Nation. I'm Tim the Spain. And that's my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com.
Don't get to know me and Romeo.